Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Canadian History X. If you like, you can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. You can also donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking donate, or you can go to buymeacupofcoffee/CraigU. All of these links are also in my show notes. And for people who donate, I have various levels of benefits. For $5, you get a thank you at the start of the next episode of Canadian History X, Canada's Great War, and from John to Justin, and on social media. For $10, you get everything from the $5, plus this episode is sponsored by with your name at the start. Also, I'll state it's sponsored by you on social media. For $20, everything from the $5 and $10, plus a second episode sponsored by you and promotion of something you're working on. And for $50, everything from the $5, $10, and $20, plus you get to choose a topic for me to cover on Canadian History X. If you like, you can email me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, CraigBaird, and I'm on Instagram and TikTok, where I put up daily videos about Canada's history. Just go to my username, Bairdo37. And you can find weekly videos on Canada's history on my YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/c/CanadianHistoryX. If you want to find transcripts of every episode I've ever done, you can go to my website, CanadaEHX.com, and there's over 700 posts on Canada's history there. Before I start, I want to say thank you to Michael Matthews, who is the sponsor of this episode. He donated to the podcast, and I truly do appreciate it, so thank you, Michael. One of the most important events in the history of Quebec in the 20th century came about because of a hockey game, but it had nothing to do with a Stanley Cup. Instead, it was a suspension and the subsequent riot that would become a precursor to the Quiet Revolution of the 1960s for the province. Now, throughout this episode, I do know that it's Maurice Richard, but just to keep myself from stumbling constantly, I will be referring to him as Richard. At the time, Maurice the Rocket Richard was the star of the Montreal Canadiens and an icon of the province. Known for his intense play, he was often antagonized by opposing players to push him into fighting or acting with anger on the ice. Frank Selke would say of Richard, quote, "He's on fire inside all of the time he's on the ice. I've never had a player who tries so intensely," end quote. Several times throughout his career, he was suspended or fined, including once when he slapped a linesman in the face, earning $250 in fines. Richard at the time was an incredibly important person to the Francophones of Quebec. In the 1950s, most of the industries and resources of the province were controlled by English Canadians and Americans, while French Canadians were the lowest paid ethnic group in the province. This caused growing discontent within the province, and it would lead to the riot that would alter the province forever. On March 13, 1955, in a game in Boston, Richard got into a fight with Hal Lacoe after he was high-sticked in the head. Richard needed 5 stitches to close the cut on his forehead. When the whistle was blown to end the play, Richard skated up to Lacoe and hit him in the face with his stick. A linesman attempted to restrain Richard, who repeatedly tried to attack Lacoe. Richard eventually broke the stick over the body of Lacoe, and linesman Cliff Thompson attempted to contain Richard, and Richard punched him twice in the face, knocking him out. Richard was then given a match penalty and an automatic $100 fine.
It was just a little incident that happened in Boston about 3 days before the suspension occurred. I got hit by Al Lico in the face, and I went after him a few seconds later, and I tried to hit him. I tried to spear him, this is the same as he did to me, and the fight started, and I tried to go after Al Lico, but there was two linesmen. One of them was a guy by the name of Armstrong, I think. He was a linesman. He got a hold of me three times, I should say. The first two times that he got a hold of me, I got rid of him, and I I was just trying to get a hold of Lake. I was trying to reach him. But the third time, I was right beside the board, and Armstrong was still holding me in my back, holding my arms, and Lake was swinging at me. So I just turned around, and I hit Armstrong. I don't know where I hit him. I must have hit him on the head or in the face. I don't remember where I hit him. But the fight stopped there, and...
In the dressing room after the game, Boston police attempted to arrest Richard, but they were blocked from getting into the dressing room by the Canadiens players. Eventually, the Bruins convinced the officers to let the Canadiens leave on condition that the NHL would take care of the issue. The Canadian press wrote of the incident, quote, "Maurice Richard, whose explosive temperament has again rocketed him to the sports headlines, finds himself Monday in familiar quarters, the National Hockey League doghouse," end quote. Many would call for Campbell to go easy on Richard. Grant Warwick, the coach of the world champion Penticton Vs, would state, quote, "If President Campbell is listening, I want to ask him on behalf of all players with me to go easy on the Rocket," end quote. At the time, Clarence Campbell, a Western Canadian, was in charge of the NHL as its president, a role he held from 1946 to 1977. A hearing was held which dominated the news the following day. As for Richard, he was dealing with the impact of being hit in the head by a stick. Coach Dick Irvin would say of Richard that day, quote, "I noticed the Rocket looked pale and strained when he reported for practice this morning. He told me that he had headaches and said he hadn't slept all night. After talking with him, I immediately called Dr. Young, and the doctor ordered Richard to the hospital at once," end quote. Richard stated he was dazed by the hit, and he would state that he did not remember what happened, adding, quote, "When I'm hit, I get mad. I don't know what to do. Before each game, I think about my temper and how I should control it, but as soon as I get on the ice, I forget all that," end quote. He stated he thought Thompson was a Bruins player, not a linesman. Campbell would rule that Richard be suspended for the rest of the season as well as the playoffs. It was the longest suspension that Campbell would issue during his 31 years as league president. Campbell would issue a statement after the hearing stating that he did not believe Richard had struck the linesman by accident, as Richard claimed. He cited the previous instance where Richard had slapped a linesman of evidence of this. He would say in a statement, quote, "I am also satisfied that Richard did not strike linesman Thompson as a result of mistake or accident as suggested," end quote. Campbell would continue in his statement, quote, "The time for prohibition or leniency is past. Whether this type of conduct is the product of temperamental instability or willful defiance of the authority of the games does not matter. It is a type of conduct which cannot be tolerated by any player, star, or otherwise," end quote.
Well, it isn't any easier now than it was then, because the problem I had was that there was such a limited period of time in the regular schedule remaining, which, in my judgment, was hopelessly inadequate for the offense. The question arose at once, how do you deal with the remainder of it? And, as you know, my final conclusion was that he should not be allowed to play in the playoffs at all that year. There was in existence at that time, and there had been a precedent, which I did not approve, in which Hooley Smith had been penalized similarly during the course of the season. But he was allowed to return to the playoffs and then served 30 days the following season. That was a line of reasoning I couldn't go along with at all.
3 days later, when I came back to Montreal, I went in front of Mr. Campbell with Kenny Reardon and Mr. No, not Mr. Selke, but Kenny Reardon came with me to Mr. Campbell's office, and they took our version of the incident, and Lako and Yudvary were there. Yudvary was the referee at that game. And the next day, I got my suspension for the last three games of the season, and suspension for the whole playoff. I didn't like that that suspension for the playoff, first of all. For the rest of the season was a good suspension, but for the playoff, I think, was a very bad suspension for me, because the playoffs had nothing to do with the season. It was only at the end of the season. I think at that time the person should give me a suspension for the following season, you know, maybe 10 or 15 games the following season, I think would have been better than being suspended for the playoffs. But anyway, it's all over today, and I think Campbell had a little bit to do with it, and I think the owner of the club, I think, were responsible for that suspension.
Over the course of his career, Richard had only been suspended once before. He'd also paid $2,500 in fines to the NHL. The Edmonton Journal reported, quote, Richard himself left the meeting glumly and in silence. He wore a patch over the cut on his scalp. He came to the session from a hospital where he was sent Tuesday for x-rays and other examinations as a result of his head wound, end quote. In Montreal, it was felt the punishment was unjust and too severe. It was another example for the Francophones of the province of the power the Anglophones held. CKAC, a French radio station, had listeners call in with their opinions. Roughly 97% said that while punishment was justified, the suspension of the playoffs was too severe. Minutes after the judgment was announced, the head office of the NHL received hundreds of phone calls from enraged fans. Many of the fans made death threats against Campbell. One person said to Campbell's secretary, quote, Tell Campbell I'm an undertaker and he'll be needing me in a few days, end quote. Another person told Campbell, quote, I intend to kill you and I already have a hiding place picked out, end quote. One NHL official suggested that Campbell be provided with police protection and a bodyguard. Mayor Jean Drapeau would say that the NHL was trying to kill hockey in Montreal, and he would add, quote, Means should have been taken to punish the hockey player himself and not resort to sanctions, which involve a whole team or hockey itself in a case like the present one, end quote. There was speculation that Richard would choose to retire and plenty of job offers came in. Richard was quoted as saying after hearing the judgment against him, quote, I'm sorry my career should end this way, end quote. Many places would offer him a job, and this advertisement would appear in the Montreal Gazette stating, quote, We're with you 100% and personally feel you are the object of a raw deal decision. Being unable to contact you personally at this time, we are, via this ad, offering you a bona fide position with our firm, selling wrapping papers, twines, refrigeration, and allied lines, end quote. Over the course of about 500 episodes, one thing I've found with Canadian history and history in general is that times change and styles change. What was rare at one point becomes common at another. If you want to take advantage of the style of today, then Manscaped is the company for you. Manscaped has been providing safe products for men to groom themselves for years without the danger of sharp blades causing a very uncomfortable injury. Right now, Manscaped is offering all my listeners 20% off of their order. I recently received my first kit from Manscaped, and it comes with everything to groom yourself from top to bottom. Even your nose and ears can be groomed with their patented Weed Whacker trimmer. With their lotions, powders, and trimmers, you can feel your best as you go about your day. Once again, that is 20% off with the offer code EHX at manscaped.com. Choose your products and enter the code at the checkout to save today. You can also click the link in my show notes. In the House of Commons, Leon Balsillier, a progressive conservative member of Parliament, attempted to introduce the issue of the suspension, but there were loud cries of order, and the Speaker of the House said that he could not bring up such a topic as a question of privilege. Campbell, refusing to back down, stated he would attend the next home game of the Canadiens on March 17th. Campbell would state, quote, I never seriously considered not going to the game. I'm a season ticket holder and a regular attendant, and I have a right to go. I felt that the police would protect me. I didn't consult them, and they didn't advise me not to attend, end quote. Richard, for his part, didn't know if he would go to the game, but in the end his wife told him she was going, and he decided to go along. 2 hours before the game, hundreds of demonstrators gathered in the lobby of the Montreal Forum. Many tried to crash the gate, but were stopped by police. Eventually, the crowd grew to 6,000 people. CKVL had a mobile sound unit at the game. Marcel Beauregard, the feature editor of the CKVL, would say later, quote, We were almost certain that there was going to be trouble. It was in the air, end quote. The mood eventually started to sour among the crowd, and some protesters began to smash windows and throw chunks of ice at streetcars. Campbell would arrive midway through the first period of the game, and 15,000 people began to boo him. Some fans started to throw eggs and vegetables at him, something that continued for 6 straight minutes. An orange hit him square in the back, and another object knocked his hat off. Campbell would say, quote, I tried to avoid anything that would provoke the crowd, end quote.
And I came into the game, it must have been upwards of 7 or 8 minutes late. And of course there was an enormous response when I came in, because I imagine the audience had been sort of preparing for my arrival, or probably more appropriate, they were providing a welcome for me. Anyway, they let their feelings be known very quickly. And from then on, there were the tempo of the events speeded up as we went along. For some little time at the start of the game, or at least at the time when I was present, it was mostly noise. Then as we got nearer the end of the period, the first period was, then the things began to drop from the skies in various forms, which even got as far as bottles, and not very many of them, fortunately, and fruit. I don't know whether it was fresh or otherwise, but in any event, it made a wreck of my wife's coat. And then literally the riot was on, or it wasn't on in that sense. In the meantime, the ushers and other police had had to divert people who were obviously moving in on in our area, and they were just created quite a considerable amount of congestion. It's been suggested to me since, and primarily, I guess, by our worthy mayor that I caused it all by going, but I don't take that seriously.
With the Canadians down 4-1 by the end of the first period, the fans were becoming more irate. At one point, a fan was able to get close to Campbell, and the incident is described as such, quote, "One man, pretending to be a friend of the NHL president, slipped by the guard of ushers and police and extended his hand to Campbell. When he was close enough, he slapped Campbell across the face and then punched him. As he was tackled by police, he still struggled to attack the NHL president, flailing his arms and legs," end quote. Soon after this point, a tear gas bomb went off near where Campbell was sitting. And while it was never found who threw the tear gas bomb, what is believed is that whoever did it, ironically, saved Campbell's life. The chief of detectives, George Elaine, would say, quote, "The bomb thrower protected Campbell's life by releasing it at precisely the right moment," end quote.
Gilles Bélanger sits in what used to be the Montreal Forum. 50 years ago, at 19 years old, he was in the same spot, watching the Canadians play without Maurice Rocket Richard.
We were not in the game that night, neither the hockey players, neither the fan. At the level of the people, the reaction of the fan was a very gut-feeling reaction, very emotional feeling. They've touched our hero, they've touched Richard.
Red Story reffed that game.
You knew something was going to happen, but you didn't know what. And Campbell should not have been at the game, and if he had not been at the game, we would have had no riot. But he dared the public.
That bomb, that tear gas bomb, exploded in the exit. Everybody got scared, and the forum went empty. So you had 15, 16,000 people all of a sudden in the street.
Ottawa Journal reporter W.G. Westwick would write, quote, "Smoke poured up, billowing straight up and then spreading through the section. Women were screaming and all near the scene either fanned out or retreated. Campbell left shortly afterwards. I've never seen so many people with tears streaming down their face," end quote. The Montreal Fire Chief then stated the game had to be suspended and the forum was evacuated for the safety of the fans. Campbell then sent a note to Jack Adams, the GM of the Red Wings, stating the game was forfeited to his team. Outside the forum, fans began to riot with the demonstrators who were not inside the game. People chanted "Down with Campbell" and "Viva Richard." Police began to push the crowd back towards the park. The chief of police would say why the police didn't run into the crowd to grab anyone who were throwing items, stating, quote, "It was dangerous to rush into the crowd to get them. It was full of women and children, some of them in carriages, some in arms. It was slippery. Had we used too much force, many people might have been trampled. As it was, there were several close calls," end quote. More windows were smashed, newsstands were lit on fire, and the cars were overturned. By this point, it was estimated there were 10,000 people in the rioting crowd. In a 15-block radius around the forum, about 50 stores were looted and vandalized. Many at the riot were also not hockey fans. One police officer arrested a man who said he was a lumberjack from Chalk River, Ontario. When asked if he loved Richard, the man said, quote, "Richard, who's he?" end quote. At 11:15 p.m., the back entrance of the forum was quiet, so Richard's car was brought up to the door so he and his wife could be loaded into it. Richard would say later, quote, "When I got home, I listened to the riot on the radio. I felt badly. Once I felt like going downtown and telling the people over a loudspeaker to stop their nonsense, but it wouldn't have done any good. They would have carried me around on their shoulders," end quote. Campbell couldn't get out of the arena until 11:30 p.m. The Montreal Gazette reported, quote, "Led by acting director Tom Leggett, A police escort accompanied Campbell and Miss King to the back of the forum while thousands of fans shouted for his scalp outside the front entrance. So riotous were the fans that only a few ushers would chance to move about in the lobby as pieces of ice, bottles, and various other missiles came sailing through the window. End quote. As soon as Campbell got home, he called his father to tell him he was okay. He then took the phone off the hook because of the constant phone calls. Lester Patrick, the owner of the New York Rangers, would say, quote, "I'm astonished. I'm flabbergasted. This has never happened before in sport anywhere in Canada, and it never happened at the fights in Madison Square Garden in New York as long as I was there." End quote. Elmer Ferguson of the Montreal Herald would write, quote, "You may not agree with his judgment, but you can't but admire the superb courage of Clarence Campbell, a man who faced death throughout World War II, to whom the heckling and the minor missiles and the torrents of verbal abuse ranging from stupid to obscene hurled his way bounced like thistledown off one who has faced shells and shrapnel." End quote. By midnight, the riot was growing and rocks were thrown through the windows of the Royal Bank. Constables were armed with a stick and revolver, and a police car was loaded with tear gas bombs, while firemen had a high-pressure hose ready. The chief of police chose not to use any of these methods, stating, quote, "It might have led to a panic and hysteria, and that's what gets people killed." End quote. The riot continued for hours until 3 a.m., leaving the entire area in shambles. The riot led to the arrest of 100 people and $100,000 in damages, which is about $1.1 million in 2022 funds. In one jewelry store, the damage was $68,000 in today's funds. About 25 civilians and 12 police officers were injured. As well, 8 police cars, several streetcars, taxicabs, and cars were damaged. The director of the police would say, quote, "It was the worst night I've had in my 33 years as a policeman," end quote. Jack Adams of the Red Wings would blame Montreal officials for the riot, stating, quote, "If they hadn't pampered Maurice Richard, built him up as a hero until he felt he was bigger than hockey himself, this wouldn't have happened," end quote. Frank Hanley of the Montreal City Council blamed the mayor for publicly criticizing the decision by Campbell to suspend Richard. The mayor would also blame the riot on Campbell, saying he provoked it by attending the game.
"Well, I've thought about it many, many times, and I have always come up with the same conclusion that I would do the same again today."
Frank Corbett, a local citizen, would write a letter to the editor stating, quote, "French and English relationships have deteriorated badly over the past 10 years, and they have never been worse. The basic unrest is nationalism, which is ever present in Quebec. Let's face it, the French Canadians want English expelled from the province," end quote. At 6 a.m. the next day, a reporter knocked on the door of Richard, which was answered by Richard's 6-year-old son, who said, quote, "I hope he didn't come to talk to him about hockey," end quote. Newspapers quickly condemned the riot. The Montreal Star stated that it was shameful, while the Toronto Star stated, quote, "It's savagery, which attacks the fundamentals of civilized behavior," end quote. Newspapers as far away as London and Los Angeles reported on it, highlighting what was seen as violence in hockey. One Dutch newspaper stated that the entire stadium had been destroyed, 100 people were injured, and 27 were dead. Richard would eventually give a statement in French and English on March 18th, and he would say, quote, "Because I always try so hard to win, and had my troubles in Boston, I was suspended. At playoff time, it hurts not to be in the game with the boys. However, I want to do what is good for the people of Montreal and the team, so that no further harm will be done. I would like to ask everyone to get behind the team and help the boys win from the New York Rangers in Detroit," end quote. Campbell, for his part, refused to apologize. Many were angry at Campbell for attending, saying that he was trying to assert his power over the NHL, and he disrespected Montreal. John Beliveau, years later, stated that he disagreed with Campbell for attending, but stated that even if Campbell was not there, it was likely it would not have made a difference in the riot. Toronto Maple Leafs president Conn Smythe would state of the riot, quote, "I'm glad I'm in Florida. It's a shame a man like Clarence Campbell has to take abuse of that kind. It's terrible." Campbell would state about being at the game, quote, "I've already received this morning 3 calls from governors of the league who are owners of their clubs, commending me very highly for my decision on the Richard case and manner in which I have conducted myself, including my attendance at the game. As far as I personally am concerned, I haven't changed my attitude in the slightest regarding my privilege as a citizen to attend a game," end quote. One Montreal City Councillor would state that Campbell should be arrested, stating, quote, "I want a warrant not only for last night, but also if he ever sets foot in the forum again," end quote. The suspension and the ending of the game against Detroit had far-reaching consequences. For one, Richard was leading the NHL in points when he was suspended, and he would lose the scoring title to his teammate Bernie Jeffron, who was booed by Canadian fans when he won the scoring title over Richard by 1 point. Thanks to Montreal forfeiting the interrupted game to Detroit, the Red Wings took first place in the league and gained home ice advantage. They would win the Stanley Cup that year over Montreal in Game 7, which was played in Detroit. After the season, coach Dick Irvin left the team to be replaced by Toe Blake. Many felt that Irvin had riled up Richard, causing his eruptions on the ice. 1 year later, Irvin was dead from bone cancer. Richard, of course, did not retire after the suspension. In the end, he chose to work with Toe Blake to control his temper on the ice, and he played a further 5 seasons. In those 5 seasons, he won 5 straight Stanley Cups, scored another 122 goals and 240 points, earned first and second team All-Star honors, won the Lou Marsh Trophy and 2 Canadian Press Male Athlete of the Year awards. When he retired at the end of the 1959-60 season, he was immediately inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. More importantly, the Richard riot proved to be a factor in the quiet revolution of the 1960s. French Canadians saw the suspension of Richard as a slight against a cultural icon. The riot was seen as a sign of rising tensions in Quebec over the divide between French and English residents. And only days after the riot, many saw it as an example of the growing nationalism in the province. As time passed, the riot gained greater significance and mythology around it, and some asserted that if it had not been a riot, there would not be the Rocket Richard myth.
I know that it was the first thing like that had happened in the province of Quebec, but I didn't know what's going to go on 15-20 years after that. So I'm really surprised to see that. I was with the English boys most of my life, especially in pro hockey, and I didn't know what was really going on, in a French Quebec. So I think. When it happened, I was not happy, but I was really surprised to see all the French Canadians that were behind me. And I know it was a bad thing to do. And first of all, I think that all that trouble started with all the young guys, all the French young kids of Montreal. And I think I don't think I'm responsible for what is going on today. I think it was great to see that. All the French people were behind me 100%, but it's all over today. We haven't seen a scene like that since that time. So everything you see on the French people in the province of Quebec has got nothing to do with sport. It's completely different.
I hope you enjoyed that episode and my look at the Richard Riot. Next week, we have one of my favorite kind of episodes, the nostalgia episode, and we're looking at the iconic 1990s show, Street Sense. If you like, you can email me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, CraigBaird, and I'm on Instagram at Bairdo37. As well, again, if you want to support the podcast, you can for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. And you can donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking Donate. I'd also like to thank all of my wonderful patrons, and I apologize if I get any names incorrect. Michael Matthews, Joanna Parker, Jeff Dahl, Vobs, Robert Page, Richard D., Colin Johnson, Jeff Hershey, Kyle Murray, Steve Paikin, Matthew Garthaud, Lionel Romain, Dr. Bob Turner, an anonymous patron that I truly do appreciate. Randy Hayden, Doug Campbell, Reg W., Deborah Carlson, Francis Helbling, Nick Zinri, Shannon Marshall, Clinton Martinez, Dimitri Chauve, Aaron O'Hara Myers, Robert Dunseith, Todd Casey, Catherine Roy, Luke S., J.P. Bear, Jason Hall, Phil Maynard, and Iris Gray. Information from Canadian Encyclopedia, Maclean's, Regina Leader Post, CBC, Wikipedia, Ottawa Citizen, Calgary Herald, Windsor Star, Edmonton Journal, Saskatoon Star Phoenix, Montreal Gazette, and the Ottawa Journal. Thanks, and we'll see you again next time.